The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "David's." And he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool'? If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning, first things first, I'd like to ask for your prayers for someone who goes to one of our other chapels, Alex Salias, who during this past week suffered a freak accident and was badly burned. Therefore, I ask you now for your prayers for his welfare.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
Please remain kneeling, and let us also pray this morning for all those thousands of people who have been killed in the last week or two because of storm. And this continues, and we do not know how many more might be killed in the next day or two. So let us pray for all those.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May their souls rest in peace.
I have several points that I need to bring to your attention this morning. First of all, that there will be no catechism class this morning because of some special work that Father Francis has to do this morning. And in connection with that, I would like to ask, though I don't think everybody is here, I would like to ask Thomas Girardi and Danny Henderson and Sam Liberti, and of course Alan Olson, who is not here, I know, to please stay back after Mass this morning and even come into the sanctuary, and Father Francis will be there waiting to help you and to instruct you as to that which you have to do with the coming Feast of the Blessed Mother in October. And regarding the Feast of the Blessed Mother in October, those of you who would like to bring cameras with you to church on that day, please do. And take pictures, because there's going to be much to take pictures of. However, do not be naturally, do not be in the way, too noticeable in the taking of pictures. I feel a little awkward in this regard, but I feel that I have to say something because some would want me to, I'm sure. And that is that with the Feast of the Blessed Mother coming up and our celebration of the Blessed Mother's Feast, we're going to have many flowers in church. Now, I'm merely saying this to you. Some of you might want to take part in the flowers for this celebration. And you may wish to contribute something in so doing. You can do this anonymously, put it in an envelope, and simply write the word flowers on that. As you know, I always hesitate and stay away from asking for money, but in this case, you might want to do it because of the occasion. So if anybody wishes to give something for flowers, you certainly may. Wednesday of this week is the Feast of St. Michael. And Friday, I think I'm right. I can't find it. Anyway, when you find it, it's the Feast of the Guardian Angels, October the 2nd. I think that's, it could be Saturday. So Wednesday is the Feast of St. Michael, and then we have the Feast of the Guardian Angels. I think you should give your strongest prayers to St. Michael and ask him to stand at the gate and ask him to protect you and to protect us and to keep us from every harm and danger. Ask Almighty God to send legions and legions of angels to stand guard at every blade of grass around our houses and our homes during these terribly perilous times, that they may protect us from the dreadful harm and the dreadful danger that is everywhere and for everyone to be afraid of. Also this week, since it is the beginning of the new month, Friday is First Friday and Saturday is First Saturday. And we have, of course, all day adoration on Friday. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. My beloved people, first of all this morning, I want to encourage you to prepare yourselves well for the observation of the crowning of the Blessed Mother, which is coming up 2 weeks from today. Again, I urge you not to look upon this as a pretty that we are going to participate in. Of course it will be beautiful. And as I said, bring cameras and take pictures. And much of what will be there, visible, is picture worthy, I know, and you know. But let it be clear in our heads that that is not the basic and the fundamental reason why we will be here on that day, that it is not just for a pretty, but it is to give honor and glory and praise to the Mother of God. My beloved people, in all that we are experiencing today, not that I am saying, oh, look, the storms, punishment from God. I'm not saying that. But I am saying it, look at all of the unusual, the out of the ordinary that is around and about us. Look at the thousands of people who have been killed over the past few days, either by storm or by war. Look at all of the unusual. I'm not saying anything, I make no predictions, I'm in no position to make predictions. Neither are you. But objectively speaking, simply look at what is unusual around and about all of us. I think we need to pray to the Blessed Mother. I think we need to ask the Blessed Mother for her help and protection. I think we need to ask the Blessed Mother to do her part in obtaining proper honor and glory and praise and belief and adoration for Divine Son and for God. As we all certainly know, that mankind today has pretty much lost contact with the divinity, has pretty much lost contact with mankind's God. And it's time that something be done about it. Enough is enough. I think we all agree on that. Therefore, I ask that all of us on that day, that we place the situation clearly in the eyes of the Blessed Mother, and do it in such a way that we know she will hear us and act upon it. Let this be for us a day of holiness. Let this be for us a day of belief and adoration. Let this be a day for us of penance and mortification and sacrifice. A day of very, very special prayer. That's the reason for that day. It is prayer and not pretty that we must seek for that day. All the ones that will be in the observation of that day will be given instructions as it is time for you to have instructions, and you will know what to do. In general, we all pretty much have experience as to what to do on those occasions, so we need not worry. This week, I failed to mention a moment ago, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I will say myself, I will say a triduum of masses. A triduum of masses in thanksgiving that Almighty God has spared us. By us, you know who us is. That Almighty God has protected us. I told you last week that to my knowledge, none of our people were injured or hurt or damaged by the storm, except just one, and the damage was very minor. We had little damage here, as the machine outside would indicate, and of course, that machine was more of a toy for Father Francis than anything else. So let us keep that in mind, that we use the machine to its fullest extent as we enjoyed every minute of it. And we did do some marvelous work with it. So much for all of that. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind. Every one of us has heard this many times in the past, and we've read it many, many times ourselves in Scripture, in the Bible. And it is very clear to us that this is what Almighty God expects of us. And we think it's very worthy. And we tell ourselves, yes, I do believe I love God with my whole mind and my whole soul, and I think I love God with my whole body, and I love God. Do we? Do I love God with my whole mind? Or with my whole soul? Or with my whole being? How much do I give to God? This is not to indicate that I am giving something that I can go to the store and buy and say, here, Lord, is a gift. Wrap it up in pretty paper and pretty tinsel and say, here, God, is my gift. That's not what I'm talking about. What a flimsy love that would be indeed. Rather, when I'm contradicted, when I am opposed, what do I do about it? What is my reaction to contradiction? What is my reaction to opposition? How do I react to that? If I say I love God with my whole mind and body and heart and soul and being, how do I react to contradiction? Or to opposition? If I say that I love God with my whole heart and mind and soul, is God strong enough. To control my eyes and my ears, and to keep my eyes and my ears from that which is inappropriate or impure. If I love him completely, is my eye only for him whom I love completely? Or is my eye for any distraction that might take it away from him whom I say I love? If I say I love God with all my strength, what is my reaction again to opposition and turns into anger, and I fly off the handle at the slightest word? And I start slamming things around and cursing and swearing and slamming doors and banging the table and all the other things that go with anger. I love God with all my heart, yet I see myself groveling in my anger. Our Lord also said, and the second commandment is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If I love my neighbor as myself, why do I criticize my neighbor as I do? Why do I rip him to shreds with my tongue? It was said once that the tongue is the only wedged instrument that grows sharper with constant use. How true. And do we not become accustomed simply to cutting our neighbor to pieces? And what's worse than that is that when we set ourselves up in judgment of that neighbor, putting ourselves above that neighbor and telling ourselves, persuading ourselves that in our righteousness, that neighbor has done wrong and it is my business in the name of God whom I love very much, with my whole heart, with my whole being, with my whole soul, with my whole body, I cast my neighbor into hell while I am in the process of loving God. My beloved people, it is time for us all. Us includes me. We know that. You know that. It is time for us all to rise from sleep and to be about our business as Christians and children of God. We cannot, on the one hand, say we love, but on the other hand, we foster hate. The two cannot live together. They're related. Love and hate are very much related, but they cannot live together. They must not live together, because God is love, and hate is not God. And if we say ourselves that we love him, then, my beloved people, we must love, and we must react in the way that love calls upon us to react. If I don't mean that love calls, that we, it's coming out, it's going to come up again more and more, and I have to say it here, I'm not asking anybody to live like monks and nuns. However, monks and nuns, my beloved people, are bound by the same identical law and the same identical word that is found elsewhere. We are all bound by the same rule. Therefore, nevertheless, we must live in such a way that we are children of God, and that love inside of us dominates every move we make. Every move. If we love, I forget now who said it, I think it was St. Augustine, I'm not certain at the moment. I think it was he that said, if I love God, then I can go and do anything I want to after that. Why? Why did St. Augustine say that? Why did St. Augustine say that? And what did he mean by that? It means simply, if I love, there's no way on earth that I would be capable of doing something to hurt the one I love. What mother who loves her child, who gave birth to her child, what mother, and I use that word exactly in its fullest connotation, that I would be easy to use that word with anyone here as I am with Mary, the mother of God herself. That's how I'm using that word, mother. What mother who loves her child, who loves her child, could stick a dagger into that child's breast? That's the kind of love that we must have for God and the things that pertain to God in these days that are not right. So, my beloved people, as we prepare ourselves and as we look around and look at the things that are happening and all about us, whatever, let us see that God's hand is there. And that being powerful and all-powerful, that we must give him the love that he demands. And how much of our heart must we give? This is where the catch comes in. All of it. I repeat it. All of it. Every bit of it. How much is left for me? None. None whatever. No part of it. is mine. Remember that we have been talking about our nothingness, have we not, over the past few weeks? To what degree do we understand that nothingness? And to the degree that I consider myself something, to that degree do I not give to God? And that I am taking away the space in my heart which belongs to God. I am taking that space and putting my somethingness in that space. That's what happens. And to the extent that I criticize me, to the extent that I understand that I am nothing, to that extent do I give my complete heart to God. That's where it is. Let us pray to the Blessed Mother that she will obtain for us the grace that we need simply to comprehend that. Oh, most of us know about that. We talk about it. We read about it. We whatever about it. But how many of us understand it completely as it has to be understood with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole body, with my whole being, everything that I am belongs to God, my beloved people.